Opinions vary on how soon China will become the world's biggest economy. Most observers think that it is likely to happen, possibly within decades. But a new book by a British left-wing intellectual suggests that whenever it happens, it will happen. Martin Jakes is a co-founder of the think tank Demos and senior visiting fellow at the London School of Economics. His book is called When China Rules the World. I asked him to sketch out the implications if his predictions were right.
Well, it's going to mean an extremely different world to the one we've grown up in. But of course, it's going to happen over a period of time. And maybe the young generation now will feel it and see it much more clearly, and their kids, than older generations now. But for 200 years, ever since the British Industrial Revolution in 1780, the world has been shaped by the West, first of all by Europe and then latterly by the United States. And all the furniture of the global economy and the global polity have been essentially Western designed. And that, we're coming to an end, the end of that era. That's why I talk about the end of the Western world. Not the end, demise of the West, of course that's not going to happen. But the West will no longer shape in the way that it has. And there will be other countries, not China alone, because we have the rise of India and so on. But China will be the most important. China is going to be the most important, powerful and influential country in the world.
Will it be an imperial power?
Well, it's going to be a hegemonic power. In other words, it's going to enjoy, you know, everyone who talks about the rise of China only talks about economically, but it'll have all sorts of political, cultural, intellectual, you know, military manifestations. You can't just be contained within an economic view. If you say imperial, I doubt personally that China will be an expansionist power in the same way that the West has been. You know, China, for example, has no history of colonial expansion, even though it did have the opportunity to be a colonial power. But it never, for example, colonized Southeast Asia, which it certainly had the overwhelming capacity to do during the Ming and the Qing. But it didn't do that.
It created buffer states.
Well, it had a tributary state
tributary
system.
States.
It was the tributary state system. Of course, as a country becomes more powerful in a region, it exercises all forms of power, all sorts of power. So, and China will certainly be like that.
Could Australia end up as a tributary state?
Well, I think the future of Australia is interesting, isn't it? I mean, there it is. Historically, Australia is a result, as we know it today, of European expansion. And it's always considered itself to be a sort of Western country. It thinks of itself as part of the West, even though it's a long way from the West. And we're now moving into a situation where the Western economy is in decline, the United States is in decline, and Australia lies not far off the Asian mainland and close to China. And China is undoubtedly the dynamic economic force in the region. And that position is going to intensify, not decline. And Australia, because it's got the commodities and so on, is being drawn into what I would describe as the Chinese sphere of economic influence. And as a result, Australia is going to change, I think, a lot, and it's going to have to negotiate its position with a rising China in terms of, you know, what will be the ramifications and components of that new relationship. It's going to be a very interesting process. I know a lot of Australians will be, to judge by politics over the last two or three decades on these sort of questions, will be very resistant to it. But others will embrace it. I mean, actually, as far as Australia is concerned, it's a tremendous opportunity. Tremendous. Because unlike, say, Europe, which is a long way from China, Australia can enjoy potentially the fruits of Chinese transformation. So some people will lay stress on the dangers and the risks, but you know, the opportunities are enormous.
But should we look at those opportunities and, for instance, there's already pressure to relax foreign ownership rules for the benefit of the Chinese. Should we do that in order to make the most of these opportunities, as you say?
Well, Australia will... Obviously, these questions are quite difficult issues because, on the one hand, as you correctly point out, you want to maximise your opportunities. On the other hand, you need to keep some kind of control over your economy. I mean, now, during the neoliberal period, for example, in my own country, the philosophy developed that, you know, who owned you, who owned whatever you had, didn't matter anymore. You could have anyone. Of course, I always thought that that was, that was because while it was Western investment, it was acceptable in a way that other forms of investment might not be. But nonetheless, this was the philosophy. Now, personally, I think this philosophy was taken much too far. So I think that Australia will no doubt strike a balance. I think what would be wrong is for Australia to develop a kind of, discriminatory form of attitude. In other words, it will accept American investment, but it won't accept Chinese investment. I mean, it needs to have a relatively even-handed approach, but while retaining, a significant amount of control over its own economy.
Martin Jakes, author of When China Rules the World, The Rise of the Middle Kingdom and the End of the Western World. And you can hear a longer version of that interview on our website this evening.